It is time, as you probably know, for a classic Thursday Daily segment. It's Wayne's 4x2 Entertainment Reviews. Joining me on the line is Wayne. How's it going, Wayne?
Oh, yeah, no, going all right, thanks. Yeah, going well, Oscar.
That's good. So I'm really keen to break, like, get into it. What do you have on the cards? You've got four reviews. They're all 2 minutes.
We talked about I was doing a top 10 in three categories. This will be my last show of the year. So,
Apologies. Sorry about that. That's your last show for the year. That's exciting. So you're going to do a top 10, a bit of a special.
So, I'll jump straight into them.
Let's do it.
That's okay.
Of course.
Okay, well, I'll start with music. Obviously, there is a ton of new music released this year. I listen to as much as I can.
Cool.
But you never listen to everything. But this is a pretty good selection of what I've really dug this year. So number 10 is Planet One, the new album from Squirrel Flower, just wonderful indie rock from this LA musician. Number 9 is Tethers, the debut album by The Natural. Just love this album totally. Number 8 was a new one from the Australian rock icons, and that is Carnage by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. After many years together, they're still absolutely producing the goods.
Great record. I'd love to see them live. What a duo.
Oh, yeah.
What a duo.
No, I've seen them in various guises live quite a few times, so it's a massive experience. Number 7, From Dreams to Dust. This is the new album from the Felice Brothers, American alt-rock band, I guess. It doesn't get a huge amount of press, but just absolutely love them. Number 6, the new album from Lucy Dacus, Home Video. Wonderful, wonderful album. A lot of acclaim for this great American songwriter. Number 5, Harmonizer, the new album from Ty Segall.
Oh, what a record.
I love Ty Segall. He's basically my favourite artist right now. Seen him live a few times, and this lives up to previous ones. That great guitar sound. So,
oh, same here, Wayne. That fuzzy guitar is the king of psychedelic rock, in my opinion. Modern psychedelic rock.
Absolutely, and so prolific. Just great to have another new album from the LA King.
Agreed.
Ty Segall. Yeah. Number 4. Open Door Policy, the Hold Steady. Now, great to see a veteran band like them, after probably a couple of down albums, come back with probably their best, you know, in a decade. So really, really love that album. Number 3, well, this is probably a one that, again, not many people are talking about, but I loved it. It's Voyager by Current Joys. Another American act that I didn't really know until this year, but really love this album. Number 2, well, this is appearing on a lot of people's top lists, is I Don't Live Here Anymore, The War on Drugs, their new album, greatly loved by many people, and with good reason. They just make great, great rock albums with beautiful sounds and great guitar, so great to have them back. And my number one album of the year, and it came out back in April, and it's still my number one, is God's Pea at State's End, the new album from the Canadian classic masters of post-rock, Godspeed You Black Emperor. This is just a monumental album. All their albums are that way. There's no one that sounds like them. You know, 10, 15-minute post-rock anthems for the new age, and they're back with their best album probably in quite a few years, and it's just wonderful. So that's my number one album.
Great top 10. I mean, I think for the 2SER listener out there as well, you've really mentioned some great artists that always get a spin on the station. And I didn't recognize a few, but I'm going to listen. I mean, for me, those were great recommendations, particularly the number one, the Current Joys record. I haven't listened to that, so I'll have to wrap my ears around it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, Godspeed, I've been a huge fan for years. And this one, I mean, it's probably not an album for everyone. Most people don't want to listen to like 10-minute instrumentals, but it just moved me in a way no other record did this year.
Amazing, Wayne. Great top 10. So are you going to do a top 10 for movies as well? Or
yep.
Great.
For movies and TV. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, just quickly move through those. So film. This is predicated by the fact that we're not getting Licorice Pizza, the new Paul Thomas Anderson film, until Boxing Day. So it won't appear, obviously, on this list, but I'm looking forward to that. But the list I have, number 10, Power of the Dog, great new film on Netflix from Jane Campion, great film. Number nine, Collective, incredible documentary about a Romanian scandal, one of the best documentaries I've seen in years. Eight, 9 Days. Seven, One Night in Miami. Six, June, just at the cinemas now, and lived up to all the hype. The new film from Denis Villeneuve. It's big, and it needs to be seen on a big screen.
Is it better than the David Lynch version?
I've never seen it, so I can't comment.
It's an experience.
Yeah, the review suggests it is, but I've never seen the David Lynch film, even though I'm a big David Lynch fan, but really love this film. So
cool.
If you're out to the cinemas in the next couple of weeks, recommend catching it. Number five, First Cow, great American independent film. Number four, I saw this Sydney Film Festival, Quo Vadis, Aida, a wonderful film about the Srebrenica genocide, which is obviously an awful part of human history, but this is a remarkable film about it. Number three came out back in January, Promising Young Woman, Carey Mulligan, just outstanding. So that did come out in Australia this year, but back in January. Number two, a wonderful small American film, which had a very, very brief cinema run, The Killing of Two Lovers, one of the best films, my favourite films I've seen in years. And number one, Minari, again, another film that came out earlier this year, but a wonderful film about the, I guess, the Asian American experience and growing up, and just so tender and beautiful and intelligent, got a lot of acclaim. And so even though it came back in February, Minari is the best film I've seen this year.
Amazing. I'm going to have to check some of those out. The Killing of Two Lovers, I had a few people actually mention, even though it was only, as you mentioned, played briefly. But same as you, I'm looking forward to Black Licorice. Crazy that Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is in it.
Yes, yeah, Cooper Hoffman's in it.
Yeah, he looks so much like his dad as well, and hopefully he can continue that legacy. But yeah, it looks like a classic Paul Thomas Anderson film with that Bradley Cooper's character, almost that Boogie Nights-esque aesthetic.
Yep. And Alana Hine from the band Hine, who's getting wonderful acclaim for her role. So, Boxing Day in Australia. So I'll be at the cinema on that day or the day after.
Best place to be, I think.
So to finish off on TV.
Let's do it.
Okay. And I'll just mention briefly where they're showing so people can, if they haven't seen them, can note. Number 10, The White Lotus on Foxtel.
Oh, absolutely what a show.
Absolutely delicious satire about privilege and everything else, and just so well written. So, yeah, great show, isn't it, Oscar?
And the music in that as well. I think they create tension so well.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the score is like an actor in the TV show.
Great way of putting it. It is an energy in itself that drives the story.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a major part of it. Nine, It's a Sin on Stan, wonderful British drama about the AIDS crisis in the 90s. Eight, Scenes from a Marriage on Foxtel. Seven, The Virtues on Stan, another great British drama, very heavy going. Stephen Graham, though, is wonderful. This is hard viewing, but just great, great drama. Six, Everyone's Talking About It. Just finished watching it, Succession on Foxtel. It keeps getting better and better. Season two was unbelievable, but maybe season three wasn't quite as good, but it's still like a 9.5 out of 10. If you love drama.
Oh, gosh.
And you love great lines and great written characters and pretty bad ones, Succession, definitely.
I couldn't agree more, Wayne. You love to hate them, you hate to love them. They are the worst people in the world, but they're still, I don't know about you, I still feel for them, this, especially with Kendall. They are humans.
Especially Kendall, yeah. And I think Roman Roy is my favourite character on TV. You know, he's awful.
He's got the best one-liners, without a doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. No, his dialogue is just so well written.
Totally, and there's that famous scene, which I won't give away, but, oh, God, that I think I've never been so flabbergasted at a scene in TV. I think you know the one I'm talking about, but...
So, what a show. If you haven't caught on Succession, just get onto it now.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's worth the... It's lived up to the hype.
100%.
Five, Made on Netflix. Four, Hacks on Foxtel, one of my favourite shows of the year, obviously. Jean Smart is just wonderful. There's going to be a season two, so this is brilliant TV. Hacks on the Hacks is on Stan. Sorry, not Foxtel, on Stan. Three, For All Mankind, incredible space fiction drama on Apple. Two, a lot of people talked about this all year, Mayor of Easttown on Foxtel. Just gripping drama, typical HBO, well-written, great acting from Kate Winslet and Jean Smart again. So wonderful. And number one, not easy viewing, but I regard this as essential. It's the Underground Railroad. Barry Jenkins adapting the great award-winning Colson Whitehead book about slavery. It's really heavy going, but it is so punch in the face, so well written, so well acted. Music, again, is wonderful. Cinematography. It's on Amazon Prime. It's not easy viewing, but if anything can be essential, Underground Railroad for me. Is number one.
Number one. Okay, I'm definitely going to check. It's called Underground Railroad?
Underground Railroad, yep. So based on the experience of a slave called Cora, Colson Whitehead, the book is fantastic. Came out about 4 or 5 years ago. I think won a Pulitzer for his book. And Barry Jenkins of Moonlight fame adapted the whole thing. 10 parts. Hard-hitting, very emotionally powerful, but... if you're up for some heavy drama, I recommend the Underground Railroad.
Perfect, Wayne. Can't thank you enough. Great lists. Honestly, I agree with a lot of those choices. There's a lot there for people to check out, particularly in Christmas time. I think, we have more time to watch movies and TV. Great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, get out there. Get out the cinema if you can. If not, there's plenty of good stuff at home to watch. There's plenty of a lot of new films coming on Netflix. Couple of those movies I mentioned, like The Power of the Dog, are on Netflix now, so you can still stay home and get some great entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. Nice one, Wayne. Thank you so much for joining the show and breaking that down.
Yep.
See you later, mate.
Bye-bye. See ya. Bye.
That was Wayne. For another week. Of course, it's the end of the year, so he did a top 10 for TV, movies, and music, and what a list. What a list. Mentioning Ty Segall there, Harmonizer, which was a featured album on 2SER, fuzzy psychedelic rock, some really good mentions there for TV as well. Success. If you haven't watched Succession yet, what are you doing? Go out and watch it. It is, it's on Binge and it's on Foxtel. It is, I think, the best TV show since The Sopranos. And that's, I'm going to stand by that. You can disagree with me if you like, but it is amazing. Well acted, as Wayne mentioned there, the lines. If you're a fan of Peep Show, you probably weren't expecting me to say that, but I forget his name, but the gentleman who directed and wrote Peep Show did Succession. So it's a beautiful dichotomy, a very serious, heavy content, but the lines, it's funny. Watch it, Succession, and that'll all be uploaded to the 2SER website under Wayne's producer tag. Great segment. What a joy. That was a lot of fun.